Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the City Council meeting for December 20th, 2016. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. And we did not hear that Councilmember Hanford or Davis would be absent this evening, so I'll go ahead and note their arrival in the record when we get there. And we now, Councilmember Gamble, will you please lead us in the pledge? Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on the agenda this evening is a presentation from Green Light Strategies about our 2017 legislative session priorities. Mr. Wall.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council members. Brian Wall, Green Light Strategies. Pleasure to be with you tonight and just kind of take a moment to have your time to review or give an overview, I guess, of the 2017, what to expect in the 2017 legislative session. First of all, I guess, just a quick update as to what happened during this last election cycle. The outcome, although there was a large turnover in the legislature, almost 20%, but the results end up about the same. You still end up, we lost, we saw one set of seats change hands with in the 41st legislative district, so that the Senate Republicans lost one seat, but because Senator Sheldon caucuses with the, who is a Democrat, he caucuses with the Republican caucus, so that gives the Republicans still a majority in the Senate, so it's now a 25-24 majority in the Senate. In the House, you still have, again, a large turnover. A lot of new faces will be in the House. However, the results are still the same, 50 Democrats and 48 Republicans, so you have a Democrat majority. So it's still a very slim majority in both chambers that will make anything, moving anything through the legislature, a very challenging, difficult process. Remember, last session was a 60-day session, so it's a short session, and you have the supplemental budget. Remember, it's a biennial budget, and so the short session just focuses on any kind of incremental changes that need to be made in the budget. This year is when they write the new budgets for the next 2 years, so the 2017 to 2019 budget, and the process, so you have 105 days now, so it'll start in January 9th. Then you have, basically, what we're looking at, the last day of session should be April 23rd. Now, we say should be, because we're not expecting, although we're all hoping that it ends on the 23rd, after 105 days, none of us are actually expecting that to happen. Remember, 2 years ago, they ended up going into when it was very similar dynamics with a very split legislative majorities. You saw three special sessions following the 105 days. It's very likely that we're going to see much the same. None of us are hoping for that. We're all going to be talking about being able to get out of there in 105 days, but when push comes to shove, there's some really big, huge, challenging issues that are going to be difficult to work through. And it's going to take as much time as possible. A couple of other things that that we should be aware of. There were three senators that got elected to different positions. So you have a senator from the 48th district that got elected to as a lieutenant governor. And so they're going to be replacing that senator. And then you also have a senator from the 37th district who was elected to Congress in the 7th congressional district, the Seattle area. And so there will be a new senator that will be appointed to that position. And then you have a senator from the 31st legislative district, Senator Pam Roach, who was elected to the Pierce County Council, who will be giving up her seat. They'll be making an appointment there to see a new senator in the 31st district. And then another one that was just appointed recently because of the passing of Senator Andy Hill, who was the chief budget writer in the Senate, you saw Dino Rossi, a familiar name, who was appointed to fill that appointment for the rest of the year. So this is going to be already some changing dynamics coming up in the next legislative session. It will be very interesting to see what happens because all four of those seats, and then very likely there will be a lot of House members that will get appointed to those seats, so then you're going to see some House races and Senate races on the ballot during the off year in 2017, which will be a whole other fun time to expect during during that election cycle. But in the meantime, we have a number of things we're going to be working on during this next session. Again, remember this last session, there were some cutoffs. And so the way that the process works is everybody will be introducing their legislation in the originating House or chamber, the House or the Senate. And they will have roughly 6 to 8 weeks. They will officially adopt the calendar for when the cutoffs will be the first week of session, first couple of days of session. But generally, based on what we know, somewhere in mid to late February will be the first committee cutoff. So all the legislation that will be introduced will need to have been heard and passed through their originating committees by that cutoff date in late February. Then they'll have another week or so to pass that legislation, any fiscal-related legislation, through the fiscal committees, so the Appropriations, Ways and Means Committees, Capital Budget, and Transportation Committees. Those things will be, again, about a week after the fiscal committee, the committee cutoff, and then you have the fiscal committee cutoff, and then it goes to the body as a whole. So the originating body needs to just negotiate the legislation and then pass it to the next chamber. So that would be sometime in probably mid-March is when there'll be a lot of floor action, a couple of weeks of floor action, and in mid-March or so, you'll see early to mid-March, we'll have the next cutoff. And then after that, the opposite body will then have to consider. The committees will have to be considering the legislation from the opposite chamber. And so then they'll have another cutoff somewhere in roughly late March and early April. We'll see the same process, the committee cutoff, fiscal committee cutoff, and then consideration on the floor. So leading up to a final cutoff about a week, usually about a week before the last day of session, they'll leave for negotiating any differences. So if there's a difference, so in other words, if the House passes a bill and it goes over the over the Senate, and the Senate then has to make changes to that legislation, then it has to go back to the House for concurrence. So that's what the last white week of session is usually about, is negotiating the differences between the two bodies' legislation and then coming to a final agreement. And then all legislation after the April 23rd will then die, and then have to potentially be, anything could be brought back to life during a special session. That's just kind of a basic framework of what we're looking at as far as the deadlines. Some of the primary issues that we're going to be dealing with this next session are obviously the budgets. The operating budget is going to be a tremendous lift this next time around. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And then, of course, to be able to cover the gap, because there's a huge funding gap between what revenues are currently available and the expenditures that they're expecting, several billion dollars. So there's a potential, in the governor's budget, we'll talk about that in a minute, has already proposed about $4.4 billion of new revenue. And that is, as we know, a challenge, especially in a divided legislature, where both bodies are going to be real concerned about voting on any kind of tax increases. So then the other big driving issue, of course, is education, and continues to be the McCleary decision. You all know about the court decision requiring the legislature to come up with basically our constitution, our state constitution says that education is priority and is the first mandate that the state has to fund. And the courts have said that the legislature has not fulfilled this responsibility. So they've been under obligation by court order to fulfill that responsibility. And so that is, they're still a couple of billion dollars short of fulfilling their obligation to fully funding education. Another big issue we've been talking a little bit about here is, of course, behavioral services, housing, and mental health. That's another key issue that we're all facing, not only here in Snohomish County, as we are well aware, but throughout the state. And so that's going to be a big issue that we're going to be working on, the legislature is going to be working on this next session. So the governor just introduced, I don't know if you've been following that, but the governor just introduced his version of the budget. The process is so that the governor introduces his budget in December, and then the both chambers will hear that legislation, that proposal, in the first week or so of session. And then they'll go back and they'll start developing their own versions. Both the House and the Senate develop their own versions of the budgets. and what they want to roll forward. And so that's where we'll see that sometime in around the middle of session, is when they'll start to roll out their versions of the different budgets. Technically, the Senate goes first this year, so they go back and forth as to who actually passes legislation over to the opposite body, but both develop their own versions and then pass them and then start the negotiating process. So the governor just introduced his budget, his version of the budget that will be this kind of starting point in the budget process. Now, the numbers I have up there are what was adopted this last two-year cycle. So it was $38 billion the last time around. The governor is now proposing a $46.7 billion budget. Now, of course, there have been some additional revenues through increased revenues through taxes and things like that. But basically, he's calling for $4.4 billion in additional taxes to be able to cover that hole, to be able to get to fund all of the different programs that he proposes in his budget. Just real quickly, so those taxes that he's suggesting that have been put on the table are a 1% increase in D&O taxes. This is an occupation taxes on services. Also, a carbon tax, $25 per ton. A D&O tax increase would generate $2.3 billion. The carbon tax would generate $1.1 billion. Then a capital gains tax of 7.9% would generate about $821 million. Then through closing tax loopholes and exemptions and things like that, $300 million. And a sales tax, imposing a sales tax on bottled water would provide about $57 million. So all of that gets about $4.4 billion. Now, obviously, those proposals have been rolled out before. They're controversial. It's a heavy lift to be able to pass that through this legislature. Particularly the Republicans and even a lot of Democrats have already indicated concerns about those taxes. So if they're going to be able to get to that $46 billion budget, there's going to have to be some additional revenues. The question is, what will those additional revenues be? If they're not going to get to that, then what's not going to be funded? And so there's going to have to be a lot of juggling, a lot of negotiating to get there. So the governor's budget, real quickly, highlights a number of different things. Education, fully funding education in the governor's budget, also addresses mental health and the opioid epidemic. Fortunately for us in the cities, the governor's budget does maintain shared revenues. It does fund the training for the law enforcement officers. It does provide funding for the Municipal Research and Services Center. And however, it does sweep those public works trust fund dollars to be able to help fund that budget. So that's operating budget, $46.7 billion, capital budget. Capital budget that he proposed is $2.6 billion, and it does fund $100 million for the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program, $91 million for the Housing Trust Fund, and it does provide some funding for the Model Toxics Control Act, which is, modest. So those are some key programs that are important to communities throughout the state. But you note that it was $4 billion capital budget last time around. It's only $2.6 billion that the governor introduced. So there's, who knows where that final dollar amount will end. And then on the transportation budget, again, roughly about $7.5 to $8 billion for the transportation budget. But most of that is, I don't want to get our hopes up for new dollars for 522. We'll touch on that a little bit later. But most of that is going to general operating for transportation. And the state patrol, for instance, is funded through this transportation budget. Just maintaining our roads and our ferry system. That is, those kind of costs all add up and will take up almost all of that transportation budget. So there are some very limited new dollars available for potentially funding new projects, but it's not going to be fully funding new projects. Potentially being able to get our hands on it, that's what we'll be asking for, is to get some a portion of those new dollars to be able to help fund the planning efforts and continue planning efforts for 522. Again, we'll touch on that a little bit later. But the other thing that the governor's transportation budget, remember in one of the things we just heard about last week. So while we've got our own priorities as far as widening and the interchange, widening 522 and the interchange, even if we solve that, we still have a problem with a backup with the interchange at getting onto 405. The governor does provide $5 million for planning on the interchange of 405 and 522. So that is something we might want to, obviously, we want to keep tabs on, and I would imagine we'll want to be supportive of those efforts in trying to maintain those dollars through that process. So that's a very quick snapshot of where we're at with the kind of a legislative overview of what we're going to get into and the initial steps of the budget process. Real quickly, I want to touch on a couple of the big city issues that are out there. Obviously, issues that we were following and concerned about, many of them are our priorities as well. So I'll touch on them here. We won't have to spend as much time on it when I talk about our legislative priorities and the status. First of all, the operating budget, the governor's version that he rolled out, we're fortunate that it does maintain shared revenues. But again, when push comes to shove, at the end of the day, through this process, all these things in the operating budget, that's why it's one of our legislative priorities, are in jeopardy. Because $46 billion is a lot of money to come up with when you're talking about that gap of several billion dollars. And so they're gonna have to, and nobody's anxious to raise taxes. So how do you avoid raising taxes? By using dollars and cutting dollars from other places. And so our shared services, for instance, the basic law enforcement training program, municipal services, research and services center, is those kind of dollars are in jeopardy. Those are the things we're going to have to be making sure that we're advocating for and sharing with our legislators how important those programs are throughout the legislative session. Okay? So right now, we're in good shape with the governor's version. Likely to be in good shape on those issues in the House version, when they roll out their package. However, the Senate, based on history, the Senate has been our roadblock on some of those issues. The Senate has rolled those dollars back and used that to help fund the programs and things like that, and will likely do that again to help fund the education and things like other programs in the budget. So we'll have to keep a close eye on that. Public records, there's been a lot of work over the interim on continuing to address public records. We all know that's a challenge. We all recognize and support the Open Public Meetings Act and sharing public information, making sure it's available to the public. There are some new challenges based on technology that have occurred, and so we've got to work with both advocates of open government and the newspapers and others to be able to help find solutions. Over this last interim, there's been a task force working on that, really kind of trying to identify five different areas. One is just cost recovery. I mean, when these requests come in, there's a tremendous amount of cost that each city, each jurisdiction is incurring to be able to just provide that information. We want to provide that information, but there's a cost in doing so that is adding up, and it takes away from the dollars we have to spend locally on public safety and other services provided by the city. So cost recovery is one of the key issues. Extraordinary requests is another. One of the things that is happening out there is people are requesting, as we've talked about, requesting everything that's ever been in the history of, you know, the city or the county or whatever. Well, okay, so what is it exactly you're after? Trying to identify ways to get make sure that we're providing the information that people really want, but narrowing down those requests. Trying to identify alternative dispute resolution, so a process in place, putting a process in place that allows for, again, identifying what it is we really need, you're really asking for. Agency responsiveness, and then technology and bot requests. So another thing that's going on out there is, because of technology, you've got these robot, automatic requests going out to every jurisdiction, all these jurisdictions, just asking for information. For instance, they want information about all the businesses doing business in the city of Monroe or something like that. And it's just this automatic, easy request for somebody to press a couple of buttons, and it goes out to everybody, and then all the different jurisdictions are having to respond to that same request. So just trying to identify some solutions on that. So there's been a lot of work in finding some agreement between the different groups that are interested in this issue. So we do expect some legislation moving forward to be introduced and move forward through the process, and we'll keep you posted on that as it moves along. Infrastructure, another big issue for us is, I mentioned the governor's budget, and it's likely that we're going to continue to see that trend of sweeping those public works trust fund dollars, even though it's been one of the best programs ever to help fund infrastructure for local governments. it is, those are big dollar amounts that are available that the state has been grabbing to be able to fund state priorities and not, therefore, available at the local level to fund local infrastructure projects. So we're needing to find solutions. Obviously, the number one solution is just trying to continue to advocate for the Public Works Trust Fund because it has been such a great program. And reminding them, our legislators, just what value that program has provided over the years and how it's helped fund our local infrastructure projects that serve all of our communities, including their constituents. So one of the things that we've, again, a lot of activity over the interim, one of the solutions that we've developed and are going to be advocating with legislators is kind of some amended criteria. I mean, one of the concerns that some legislators have, unfortunately, it's the key budget writers that have that concern, and therefore they're the ones that are the ones that we need to really influence. But one of the things they have concerns about, who's eligible, how they're eligible, how much they're able to get. And so one of the things that we've identified as a potential solution to help address their concerns is different criteria on who's eligible and how, and the process they go through to be able to get funding for the Public Works Trust Fund. So there's that. But if there's no money available, even if we get a criteria changed and there's no money available, well, that doesn't provide us with the solutions we need. So that's one option. But another option is some sort of replacement program, allowing access for those communities without the funds to fund their infrastructure projects to have access to the private markets, to be able to access private dollars and private bond markets at a lower interest rate. So that's another one. And then also, here in Snohomish County years ago, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but Brian Sullivan, when he was in the legislature, and now he's on the Snohomish County Council, but years ago, we worked together to get allow local public works trust funds. And so Snohomish County has actually set up a local trust fund. It's fairly limited in the dollars that are available. It's basically only dollars that the county has allocated. So another solution is to, that is something that is, every county throughout the state has the ability to set that up. But Snohomish County is one of the few that has actually taken advantage of that and started developing that. So another solution is to expand that program and provide funding, some seed funding for jurisdictions that actually put that kind of a program in place. So there's just some ideas that are out there that we'll be interested in pursuing. On the housing front, we've talked about housing a lot. There's a lot of activity on trying to address the housing challenges, homelessness and affordable housing and the mental health challenges and making sure that we're coordinating. Of course, a lot of that coordination happens at the local level. So that's happening through Snohomish County here in this area. It's going to happen through Snohomish County and Everett primarily kind of driving that coordinating process. But at the state level, there's a lot of funding that we want to try and guide towards mental health programs and affordable housing programs. So one of those is a document recording fee. There is, as you may recall, there's a document recording fee that's already in place, but it's sunsetting at the end of the year, and we want to make that permanent. So a number of advocates, I guess, want to make that permanent. So restore that $30 and make that a permanent document recording fee that goes to fund affordable housing projects. Another one is fully funding the Housing Trust Fund. As I mentioned, the governor has already, in his version, put forward $91 million. Affordable housing advocates are asking for $200 million, and that's all part of the capital budget process. So trying to find additional dollars through the capital budget to be able to allocate towards the housing trust fund. Now, in another program through the capital budget is the Washington Wildlife Recreation Program. And so that's also a key piece that we'll want to be keeping an eye on and making sure that there's funding in there for things like the RCO grants that help fund things like our Lake Tide project, which is one of the projects that was funded through the RPO grants. And so that will help us in another phase of our advocacy on trying to get some additional dollars to the capital budget. But I want to point out that, of course, there's a limited number of dollars available for that capital budget, and they're all competing against one another. So while on one hand we want to support funding for Housing Trust Fund and funding for the Washington Wildlife Recreation Program, that also takes away, the more dollars that go to those programs, it takes away from the potential of funding local projects, things like our Lake Tide project. So we just have to be aware of those different kind of dynamics. Of course, we want to be advocating for all of it through that process, but just be aware that, again, there's a limited number of dollars. And then real quickly on the, I guess that covers most, oh, of course, the local control of state mandates. That's another city issue that we need to continue pounding that drum, making sure our legislators are aware. And they know it inherently, but they need to be reminded when legislation comes out that has new mandates for local governments and or takes away the ability of to act and be responsive to our own communities in the way that we see best fit for what we need. So those are some of the key issues that AWC is carrying the water on, taking the lead on. And of course, we'll be working alongside them, trying to be as helpful as possible. Of course, we've talked a lot about our legislative priorities. I won't spend a whole lot of time, but I'll try and give you a couple of quick updates on some of these things. Real quickly on transportation, we just heard the presentation last week from DOT about the process we just went through. Provided a lot of great information. We got more than our bang for the buck in that program. Really, that program is intended for a very, very high level of information and planning. And we got a little deeper into the weeds than they normally do on that because of where we're at in the process, because we are, you know, we've done so much work already, and so we were fortunate to get a lot more. But there's still a lot more to do. So that's one of the things we'll be spending our time looking to do, is really focusing on two different things. Another thing that we learned through that process, by the way, is that while there are a lot of alternative ideas out there that are nice, some are worth pursuing, but a lot of them just don't make sense. I mean, for instance, the peak shoulder use. While it seems like a good idea, that's one that we know based on the costs involved, just doesn't make sense to do that. So. Rather than divert our energy to pursuing that kind of an option, it makes more sense just to stay focused on the prize at the end of the day of widening the lanes. So the other thing that we did come out with that, though, is on the interchange, basically cut that request in half. So where it was a $140 million request, we've identified a different approach that saves almost $70 million, so we got that down to $70 million request instead of $140 million. So that's great. We also identify some different, you know, through phasing potentially is another thing, just to be able to start going after any dollars we can get our hands on as it becomes available. So I do want to remind everybody, we're in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's a big ask to be able to fund completion, mm-hmm. which is what we need. But there's no real new dollars available. It's going to be little increments here and there. So that's what we're going to be looking for, is just identifying whatever dollars we can get our hands on in increments. One of the key things we want to be sending the message on is whatever we can be doing for early planning in this process is better and beneficial, because any kind of dollars we can get made available for early planning will help us with matching dollars potentially in going and getting. So the state's not entirely responsible for this. It doesn't have to be. It's a state highway. It's in the county jurisdiction. So those guys need to be taking the lead on it. But we need, you know, anything we can be doing to help them move that process forward, the better. And when it comes to a lot of federal dollars that are available, for instance, they require matching dollars. Mm-hmm. So we want to be able to come up with any kind of planning dollars available to help us get matching dollars from things like the FAST Act. You know, there's a lot of federal dollars that come through the regional process. So in 2018 is the next window for applying for FAST Act dollars and other tighter grants and different things like that might be available through the federal process. We want to be positioning ourselves to be able to access those dollars. To be able to access those dollars and position ourselves, we need matching dollars. So that's one of the things we're going to be looking for, is just trying to get some dollars available for things like practical design. And, you know, that's $300,000. Senator Guy Colombo, by the way, another quick election update. We're actually very fortunate to have a huge advocate that got elected, a couple of huge advocates on 522 that got elected this last cycle. At the county level, Sam Lowe was elected to represent this county council district. 522 is one of his top priorities. So he's going to be very helpful in carrying that water and carrying that message to the county council and working with the county council. Another thing that just happened is one of the county council members, Ken Klein, Ken Klein, was just appointed as one of the executive directors in the county executive's office, who's going to be responsible for overseeing public works. He has been a partner. He's kind of been very helpful in the process over the last couple of years on addressing 522 and really been helping to work the council dynamics on that front. So now we've got an advocate, and of course Dave Summers, who is the former county council member from this area, is very familiar with 522. Now the county executive, we've got now an executive director that understands 522, and a county council member that is really going to help carry the water at the county level. So we're positioning ourselves well at the county level for 522. At the state level, Senator-elect Guy Palumbo, was elected to the first legislative district. Now again, remember, 522 piece of this is the project needs to be completed is in the first legislative district. So while our legislative delegation can be helpful in this process, the important thing is that the legislators from the district where the project is based need to be champions. And we now have, we've had some people that have been very supportive and helpful, but Guy Palumbo is going to be a champion on 522. It was his number one issue. And that's what he feels he got elected on. One of the things he got elected on. And so he's going to really help us carry the water on that in the Senate. We also have Senator Hobbs and Senator Marco Elias from Snohomish County that are leadership. They're ranking and assistant ranking on the Transportation Committee. Oh, by the way, Senator-elect Palumbo has been appointed to the Transportation Committee. So that's going to be very helpful for us in that process in trying to obtain dollars, get dollars into the transportation budget. The other thing is Representative Shelley Kloba is another new representative from the First Legislative District. She was a former city council member from Kirkland, or still is technically for another couple of weeks. And so she understands city issues and will be very helpful on city issues. But Senator-elect Palumbo will really work together with Representative Kloba in working the transportation side on the House side as well. And she's also been appointed to the Transportation Committee. So that's going to be, we're setting ourselves up well for progress. But again, I want to just caution you that the new dollars are very limited, and so it's still going to be a challenge to get our hands on any additional dollars for 522, but the key is just incremental progress and continuing to be waving that flag and making sure that everybody is aware that this needs to be a top priority. Another thing that we want to be thinking of is connecting Washington. Previous packages, and I'm sorry if I'm going on too long, you just need to cut me off and send me home. some of the other things that connecting previous transportation packages allowed for changes in projects. So they allocated dollars for projects and it's kind of a basic overview of time frame. But then some projects were ready to go and others weren't, and so they were able to, they had a change, basically what's called a change management process that allowed projects to be shifted around. Connecting Washington package did not provide that. And so one of the things we'll be wanting to advocate for, and we won't be taking the lead so much on it, but we certainly will be supportive of any efforts, is any kind of a change management system that can be put in place to allow for flexibility in those dollars. And of course, that's important to us because the dollars that have been allocated, planning dollars that have been allocated to 522, aren't available until 2025 and 2027. So we want to be able to have the flexibility to move those dollars forward. The only way to do that is some sort of a change management system in place. And so the legislators are aware of that. They aren't anxious to get there yet, but they're aware that something needs to be done because, again, you've got some projects that are ready to go and others that aren't. So that's going to be something we want to be advocating for. Another thing that we want to be positioning ourselves for is one of the things that the Connecting Washington package did include was, in the reform efforts, was savings. So any savings from projects that come in, that when they're done, that will go into a pot that will then be reallocated. We want to position ourselves so that we're first in line, basically, for reallocation of those dollars when that becomes available. That's going to be about six or so years, but that's some potential funding for new project funding to be able to help us complete the 522. So those are some of the things we just want to keep in mind through the process and where we're at. On capital budget, I suddenly realized maybe I should be pausing for questions as I'm going through.
I'll let you know.
But, all right. So then on the capital budget, we all know Lake Tai Park, Athletic Fields, continues to be our top priority for getting funding for that. that is an important piece that we do have strong support from our delegation for helping to submit requests for that and work that process. Representative-elect John Koster is very positive, and importantly, he's been appointed to the Capital Budget Committee, so that'll be very helpful for us in that process. Also, Representative-elect Koster is a former representative, as you know, from this area. He's very familiar with our issues. He's also been a county council member, so he's very familiar with local government issues. Now, because of his experience on the county council, is now a much stronger advocate of local government issues, has a whole different perspective on local government, and so I think he'll be very helpful for us on a lot of local government issues. So we do have, again, support. The first thing we'll be doing the first couple of weeks of session is just lining up the Pearson in the Senate to make the official request, fill out the form that's required in the Senate, so that form is available, and likewise in the House, so that form is available in the House. We'll have be working with Representative Koster to submit that form, and then continue working with the chairs of those committees to hopefully get some dollars allocated to the project. An important piece, remember in the past, an important piece of the capital budget and assigning those local dollars has been matching dollars, and we were falling short on that piece of it previously, but we've kind of been boning up on that now with the RCO. That helps provide the funding. We've identified some areas where the city is stepping up through staff and through maintenance of the fields and all of that. So all that counts towards matching dollars, and so we've kind of helped to define that. That's going to help us make our case.
Cool.
So that's where we're at on those issues. And quickly on some of the policy issues, we already covered the fiscal sustainability and the challenges we face there. Main Street program funding, that is the Trust for Historical Preservation is really kind of leading the charge on that. Again, a reminder, there's currently $1 million available, which doesn't go very far. It goes very quickly. We're asking for doubling that, basically $2 million to be available for Main Street community programs. So they'll be taking the lead on that. We'll be supporting them in their efforts and every way we can to help make the case for why that's important. Talk about public records. I've talked about human services, homelessness, and affordable housing issues. And so that brings us to just an overview of what's coming. One of the things we want to be working together closely with you guys on is just the city's engagement. A couple of dates to put in your calendars if you're able to make it. AWC City Days are scheduled for February 15th and 16th. Hopefully you're able to join us for that. We'd love to have you down and we'll want to work with you as far as who's coming down beforehand so that we can kind of identify what we want to do and messages we want to be sure that we're sending and kind of update you as to what the status is of our legislative priorities and where things are at in the process and what we really need to remind the legislators, our delegation of, while we're down there during those couple of days. Also something new that the AWC is adding to their agenda is an additional lobby day on April 3rd. And so if you're able to come down on April 3rd, I encourage you to schedule that. That is a preliminary date, so that you may need some flexibility. That's what we've got right now. But the idea is that, we're trying to hit them in the earlier part of the process. Remember, the 15th and 16th is still, they're still hearing legislation in the committees. So that'll be, we'll have kind of a handle of where things are at and a good idea of where things are at. But then as it moves through the process, there will be new things, new updates. And it's important to come back again towards the end of the process, and so that's why they scheduled this lobby day for April 3rd. So we wanted to see if we can get some folks down there for that day as well. So the other thing we want to be working with y'all on is just obviously regular interaction. I'll be down there daily on a regular basis and helping to move things through the process as best we can. I'll be in touch on a regular basis with the city administrator and mayor, on a daily basis as needed. And and of course, as we will have provide the weekly updates and weekly reports to the council. And then I want to be sure that we're working with the new Legislative Affairs Committee committee as through the process and really identify additional ways that we can be engaging the council and the committee as necessary through that process to help really move things through and do everything we can to advocate for our legislative priorities. And then, of course, really want to be working with y'all and we'd love to get your feedback on what you'd like to see as far as, you know, deliverables. How would you like to see the reports? What kind of reports? You know, we had a flavor of that, I guess, this last year. What would you like to see changed? What additions would you like? What additional information would be helpful for you to be more informed and or be able to be more engaged in the process? So. There you go. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmembers, do you have any questions or comments? Yeah, I don't see any. What's wrong?
Oh, yeah, so.
All of a sudden I looked away and I looked back. All right, Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you for that
and
report.
Before you begin, please let the record show that Councilmember Hanford entered chambers at about 7:04 and Councilmember Davis at about 7:07. So we have all seven councilmembers here now. All right, Councilmember Cutterback.
Just to go back to the Capitol, when is the application due? Do we know that date? Is there an application process that's due? When is that?
We won't know exact dates.
Okay.
Until usually about the first week or so of session.
Okay.
And so we have a lot of ideas. Again, even the committee assignments, I aren't official yet.
Okay.
Individuals have a kind of preliminary indication of who's been assigned to which committees, and so we have an idea of where we're at on that. Nothing's official technically until the first week of session.
Okay.
Really. But that said, we do have an idea that usually about the committee chairs will ask for a certain date, usually about 6 to 8 weeks into the session, when they'd like to have the applications in. We'll get ours in. The other thing is that they'll be working up that form usually in the first couple of weeks, so the form won't even be available for the first week or two potentially of session. As soon as that becomes available, we'll be working with staff and getting that application all ready to hand deliver it to Representative LaCoster and Senator Pearson so that they're able to sign it and submit it right away.
Okay. And you mentioned, I think I heard you say RCO or RBO. What is that?
Recreation.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the recreation fund, because I know there's two funds you can apply for in capital, and so we would be going through like the youth recreation fund.
Well, yeah, there's the WWRP grants, mm-hmm. and a number of different grants within that that are things, and RCO is one of those, and they actually have several others as well, mm-hmm. but that's one that we have been allocated funding for through the RCO grant.
Okay.
But that's just one piece of it. We'll actually use that as to help make our case for additional funding for local projects. So there's in the capital budget, there's the WWRP program, there's the housing trust fund. There's a lot of dollars through classrooms, for instance, and a lot of other environmental cleanup and things like that. But then there's also usually they identify a certain amount that they're going to set aside for local projects. And so then that's where the individual legislators will request projects in
right.
their districts. And so that will be in addition. That will be going, we'll be asking for additional dollars for Lake Ty through that local project process
okay.
in addition to the RCO.
Okay, okay. And then what would help me as a council member is if you have suggestions or a strategy on what we can be doing. I know you give updates to the mayor and the administrator, but are there things that we can be doing during session, reaching out, chatting, you know, what can we be doing that can help move Lake Ty along and 522 and that? So.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I just want to thank you for your report, Brian, and appreciate everything you do for us.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Brian, thanks for coming and speaking. Simply it's for, I've heard a lot of concern with entities that rely on state and federal grants, and with the new administration coming in, there's a little bit of concern in receiving those. What's the sense that you're getting down in Olympia along those lines?
Well, with the national level, who knows, right? But the, I guess what I see is potentially a good sign is that the president-elect has infrastructure is, and funding infrastructure projects is a priority, is one of many priorities that he has, but is something that he has indicated he's interested in doing, is providing on a large scale funding for infrastructure projects. So on that front, we can be hopeful. And then the other thing that is, you know, potentially in play is, remember a couple of years ago, the Congress did away with earmarks. There's discussion about bringing earmarks back so that will allow earmarking certain projects to be funded through federal dollars. So that may be an additional avenue beyond things like FAST Act dollars and ICE-T dollars and, you know, all the other funding, federal funding that comes to local areas that could be available. So, you know, it's hard to say, but there are some. We're going to the new year. It's time to look positive and be hopeful that there's some good science potentially out there for some additional knowledge for infrastructure projects.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions from council members? Councilmember Scarborough.
Echo these two. Thanks for coming and trying to make things clear to some of the simpletons. And
trust me, there's never anything clear in Olympia.
Always interesting, and fill the glass a little fuller. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Look forward to working with you all in the coming year, and enjoy the holidays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You too. You as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. The next item that we have on the agenda under announcements and presentations is an agenda bill. This is agenda bill or AB 16-185. And can we have somebody from staff show? Thanks. So AB 16-185 is confirmation of interim city administrator appointment. This is authorizing also the mayor to sign a contract for interim city administration services. So just looking through the agenda bill, this month, you authorized me to sign a contract with Profman to provide interim city administrator services. Part of that process involved Profman coming forward with some recommended candidates. We interviewed three of the four candidates that were brought forward. Upon deliberation with me and staff, Mr. David Mosley has been selected for the position. This is my appointment, however, it requires the confirmation of the council. Mr. Mosley has 40 years of municipal experience and is currently semi-retired, operating his own consulting company and providing interim services through Profman. Before his retirement, he was the assistant secretary for the Washington State Department of Transportation's Ferries Division. His career has involved many different positions, including city manager in Federal Way and City of Ellensburg, and also town administrator of the town of Steilacoom. You can read for yourself the rest of the agenda bill there that gets into other detail about his background. I appreciated the opportunity to sit down and speak with Mr. Mosley. I think that he would do very well in the interim as we are looking for a permanent city administrator. He has, as I've stated already, not just experience as a city manager, but also experience as a city administrator. The other three folks that we interviewed, their primary experience was more towards city manager, and it's valuable having somebody here that understands, or rather has worked in a city administrator position. So my request is your consideration to confirm the appointment. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Yes, so first of all, Mr. Brazel did not allow council to vote on whether or not he was going to be leaving us.
You can still take a vote. So it may not be binding.
But this is something we have to do.
Sure.
And so I did read the report and the resume and everything, and looks like a wise move. So I'll move to confirm the appointment of Mr. David Mosley as interim city administrator and authorize the mayor to sign the contract with Profman for interim city administrator services and expressly authorize further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen for the motion as written in Agenda Bill 16-185. Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Yeah, I know Mr. Mosley's here with us tonight, and I just, it's okay with the council, just so I can give him the opportunity to say hi to the council, and if there's anything he wanted to add to this nice extensive resume.
Well, just very briefly, I appreciate the opportunity to come before you. I appreciate the opportunity to work with you over the next several months, hopefully not too long, so you'll get a permanent person in place, and I would certainly understand my role of, in my due diligence in looking at the Monroe opportunity that Mr. Prothman brought to me. I did some due diligence on your activities over the last, Google is a great thing. very much impressed with the stability and the management of the mayor, the administrator, and the department heads, and the cooperative spirit of the council, both among yourselves and with the administration. And so I look forward to working with you if I'm fortunate enough to receive your confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions or comments from council? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion on the floor. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much, everybody. Congratulations, Mr. Mosley. All right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, we need to have you come up and swear now. Or be sworn in.
I'll go ahead and swear your oath of office. I'll go ahead and read the whole thing, and then you can choose to swear or affirm at the final. David Mosley, you do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the State of Washington and ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of interim city administrator according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
I affirm.
Thank you very much. Mr. Mosley's first day in the office will be January 3rd. We have a brief day where Mr. Brazel will be here also with Mr. Mosley. And anyway, just letting you know that that's when he'll be here. All right. Thank you again, everybody. We're going to now move on to comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. Public comment is limited to 3 minutes per speaker. Ms. Smoot, has anybody signed up? Okay. Is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council this evening? Anybody at all? All right. Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second.
I have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Rasmussen. A second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is new business item number one. This is AB 16-186, resolution number 021-2016, regarding opposition to proposed marijuana retail license 421432-7A. Mr. Osaki.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, on December 9th, the city received notice from the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board that it is contemplating issuing a state license for a marijuana retailer in the city of Monroe. In accordance with state law, we as a local jurisdiction have 20 days to respond to that notice. That 20 days would be December 29th. Keep in mind that in attachment 2 to the materials that you have, it says that if we being the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board, do not receive this notice back within 20 days, we will assume that you have no objection to the issuance license. The proposed location, the address is 17376 West Main Street. And I just want to make a correction because in the body of the agenda bill on the first paragraph, the one is missing. So it should be 17376 West Main Street. And I point that out because the agenda bill will be part of the findings that support the resolution. That property is owned mixed-use commercial. There's currently an auto body shop located there, and then Everything RV is also located there. It's just east of the Monroe Four Square Church, immediately abutting the church at that location. The code, the zoning code for the city of Monroe does not allow marijuana-related uses in this city, and so the requested action before you is that the council approve resolution 21-2016. It would authorize and direct the mayor to submit a letter of objection to the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board regarding the issuance of this license. And it would also request that there be a hearing held if the state is actually considering contemplating issuing of the license. The emphasis is on request, because we can request a hearing, certainly at the discretion of the state whether or not that hearing will be granted. I'd be glad to answer your question.
Hey, council members, any questions? Any comments? Motion? Councilmember Cutterback?
A question. It's located next to the church?
It is, yes.
Okay, is that within the 1,000, what's the buffer that's supposed to be?
The buffer is 1,000 feet. However, if you look on what would be page 2
I don't see it,
The actual sensitive uses that form that 1,000-foot buffer are identified there, and a religious institution is not one of them.
Mary Child here.
We did very quick building, secondary school, playground, recreation facility, child care center, public park, public transit center, library, or arcade admission, which is not restricted to persons aged 21 years or older.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we included churches with that when we passed our ordinance. So.
Well, the city of Monroe ordinance does not allow marijuana-related uses at all.
Right. That's correct.
Okay. So what I just read off was a state criteria.
Yeah.
Sure.
The state won't issue a license if it's within 1,000 feet of those uses.
Right.
But the city code itself does not allow marijuana-related uses.
Okay, so I'll move to approve resolution number 021-2016, authorizing and directing the mayor to notify the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board of the city's opposition to the issuance of marijuana license 421432-7A, and to request an adjudicative hearing before any final action on said license application is taken.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Scarborough. For the motion as written in agenda bill numbers 16-186. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, the only other thing I was going to say, though, is that even in the state's language, as far as the child care center, I think the one clarification we're looking for is that a lot of religious institutions have full-time child care centers that operate Monday through Friday. So that would be something
that
clarification. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it's a moot point because of what we have on the books, but that would apply, would it not, I guess, is my question.
It does. I believe that the state definition of that requires some sort of state licensure, and that's one of the issues that the staff will be looking into. And just to reiterate the larger point, Council, the objection that this resolution authorizes the mayor to submit on the city's behalf is simply to the state liquor and cannabis board license process. It's completely separate from your own local zoning power. It's completely separate from the city's business license regulations, both of which categorically prohibit marijuana uses in the city. So although those are not considerations that the state board will take into account in its state licensing decisional process, they are independent bases for the city to enforce and prevent this type of use from locating in the city in the first instance. And the state law, at least at this point, is fairly clear on that point.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Just a question. I thought I remembered that the state law gave us the ability to expand the buffers to include more in kind of that buffer, and at one point we expanded the language to include.
Actually, as counterintuitive as it is, the state law actually allows individual jurisdictions at the local level to reduce the state law buffers if they want. And the city has not done that because you have a categorical zoning prohibition against these uses in the first instance.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anything further, council members? Okay. Seeing none, we do have a motion on the floor. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. The next item that we have on the agenda is Final action number one, this is Agenda Bill 16-187, Resolution Number 022-2016, amending fee schedule 2017. Mr. Brazel.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This is a housekeeping matter that we deal with every year, and it's related to amending the fees schedule, and this is for 2017. Staff has reviewed all the fees, and there's a motion before you this evening for consideration.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I move to approve resolution number 022/2016, amending the City of Monroe master fee schedule and fees, fines, penalties, interest, and charges for 2017.
Second.
We have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Davis for the motion as stated in Agenda Bill 16-187 for amending the fee schedule. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor. Councilmember Gamble.
Wow.
That was quick.
Snuck that right out of you. We're moving quick.
Councilmember Gamble.
No, the only question I had, though, is in regards to the, you know, the adjustment on the hearing examiner fee. Because, you know, one of the things that we got feedback in the past and even is that, you know, what happens if something that they're trying to appeal is less than the amount for what it costs to actually, you know, to go before the hearing examiner. I mean, that's the, you know, that's the piece where really you feel like there's no way for a citizen to, you know, escalate an issue or to take exception if there's, you know, a $500 or $1,000, you know, discrepancy, which could be a lot of money for somebody, right? And they have to pay $2,500 to $3,500 in order to go before, or $2,500 before the hearing examiner to even be heard. That's the only thing that I just want to, you know, to throw out there, is that in those instances where what they're appealing is way less than what the actual cost of just to go before the hearing examiner.
Good point.
Does anybody from staff want to? Dave? So this is regarding appeals to the hearing examiner.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, I'm going by memory because the way that staff proposed for the hearing examiner costs, it was for preliminary plats, conditional use permits, and variances. It did not include appeals. And the idea or the concept was that it would be a deposit. So we're taking appeals out of the equation here. These for conditional use permits and preliminary plats, and the idea is that the applicant would provide a deposit to the city. For variances and conditional use permits, it'd be $1,000. For preliminary plats, I believe it'd be $2,500. If the cost of the hearing examiner were less than that amount, we would refund the balance back to the applicant.
Okay.
And vice versa, if it's more than that, then we would ask the applicant to provide additional costs. But based on some of the history, the goal is it won't go over that amount. You never know based on the particular hearing.
Okay. And the hearing examiner amounts appear to be on page 2 of 6.
Uh-huh.
And just scanning through there, I don't see appeals.
Well, I guess I still have the floor, but yeah, I guess yes, what I'm recalling is the conversation on some of the appeals that we had talked about, you know, specifically one where it went to the council, and we had talked about instead of going to the council that it was going to go to the hearing examiner. And we restructured that. I remember that. So in that particular instance, that was for a $500 down the transportation, like someone, you know, wanted to do an you know, an accessory dwelling unit or whatever, right? And they, you wanted to appeal the $500 unit. There was really no, once you went to the department head, that was it. There was no further, you know, recourse other than to go to the hearing examiner, which would cost you this when the, what you're appealing is $500. So that's where that came from.
Understood.
Right.
Right. And I think we're saying the same thing. I don't see any appeals in the, so.
Then,
right.
If you could, if, because no, am I not?
Yeah, there's no change to the appeal fees.
There's no change to the appeal fee, so that the appeal fee would be, it would just go before the hearing examiner? I guess that's what I need the explanation on.
What's the cost of taking an appeal? If this were to go into effect, what's the cost of appealing a decision to the hearing examiner? That's your question.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the fee schedule, because I actually think the appeal fee differs a little bit depending on the nature of the appeal.
But this doesn't change any of that.
It does not.
Okay.
It's a reimbursement thing.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. All right. Any other questions?
Just kidding.
Okay. I usually miss the light, so. any other questions or comments from council? All right. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda is City Council reports. The transportation and P4 committee was canceled, so we don't have a report on that. We'll just go ahead and go down the line on councilmember reports individually. Councilmember Gamble.
Nothing, just a, you know, more of a happy holidays. And I attended the high school had their, well, I guess it was all schools, high school, middle school, all our choir concert. Yeah, it was a great event up at the high school. Good to see lots of the community out there. And then I'm trying to remember what was the other thing on the weekend, probably some basketball related deal, but just enjoy the holidays. We'll see everybody in the new year.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I attended the Downtown Monroe Association last night, and Mr. Osaka gave a very good presentation. I'm sure he'll speak to that, so I won't go into any detail on that. I also want to echo that. Happy holidays to everyone. Hope everyone has a safe one and a good new year. And I want to thank city staff and everybody for all the hard work this year. It's been interesting. What's that thing about, may you live in interesting times? Anyway, so that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Davis.
Let me just echo that. Thank you to the staff and to everybody here in the city and the council and all of you guys. It's been an interesting year, but it's been a good year, and it's always been a joy coming here and working with you guys, and I look forward to next year, and my best to Gene. I'm sorry we're losing him, but bigger and better things, I guess, and good luck with that, and I hope it works well for you, and we'll miss you, so thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Last Wednesday, got to be part of a great event, Shop with a Cop. I'm actually going to hold some of my comments because I'm sure Chief will talk about it. But great event. Saturday, my family and I, we got to volunteer at the rerun at Lake Tai, and 5K, 10K, and half marathon around Lake Tai and up to Main Street, and it was awesome, even when it started snowing, and the runners were still out. So, Yesterday, attended the Snohomish County Health District Executive Committee meeting, which I was invited to join and accepted to join the Executive Committee. So very excited about that. And the cool thing about this committee is it's ultimately made up of 7 members. Three of us are actually from East County. So myself representing Snohomish Monroe East, Councilmember Kurt Hilt from Lake Stevens, and County Council Member Sam Lowe. Three of us are on that committee, so you know, our side of the I-5 corridor are heavily, heavily represented, which is nice. We, amongst many issues or matters, we did discuss the recruitment process for our new health officer, which has already begun. But if anyone wants to see, I've got the nice colored marketing recruitment information. And then because we changed our leadership structure, recruitment process will start for the administrator position after the first of the year. And then today attended the groundbreaking ceremony for the Lake Stevens Boys and Girls Club Teen Center, which was actually kind of fun. Probably read in the paper, a lot of that was thanks to superstar Chris Pratt, who was there and got to speak. I know. So that was really fun. It's always great to see you know, stuff like that popping up, even if it's not right here in Monroe, if it's in the area, it's great to see. And echo what's already been said. I think 2015 or 2016 was a great year. 2015 wasn't so bad either. 16 is even better. You know, happy holidays, council, mayor, staff, and this community. I'm very fortunate to have you know, the great folks to work with up here and the staff. So I'm really looking forward to 2017. So, thank you.
Thank you. So on the health district, since Councilmember Rasmussen spoke, we did receive a letter from the health district inquiring as to who we would nominate to serve in that position. And I have a letter at each of your positions there in the highlighted area of your letter. You can see that there's an ask. The ask is from Dr. Goldbaum, a letter from you or your city administrator by January 4th, and certifying your representative to the board. And so I'm looking for a motion to provide direction for me to have a letter sent supporting Councilmember Rasmussen to continue to serve in that capacity. Councilmember Gamble?
I move to direct the mayor to send a letter to the Snohomish Health District certifying Monroe Councilmember Jeff Rasmussen as the city's representative to the board for 2017.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Camp for the motion to direct the mayor to send a letter to the Snohomish Health District certifying Monroe Councilmember Jeff Rasmussen as the city's representative to the board for 2017. Any discussion on the motion? I'll give that to Liz. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Councilmember Rasmussen, I really appreciate you. Councilmember Rasmussen, I really appreciate your service on the board. You've been coming here and been giving very thorough reports about what's going on there, and I truly appreciate that. So thank you very much. Well, and I think you're doing a real service, a real positive service for our community.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council, for, you know, allowing me to continue to serve on that. So thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. I'm just I'm thinking through. I mean, obviously, we've got some special orders later on, but it's we all have so much to be thankful for in this city, in this town, and I so appreciate working with all of you up here and your candor and your openness and just the. The unity that we work with, along with the mayor and along with all the staff, and so it makes this part-time job / full-time service very enjoyable. And so thank you to all the staff. Looking forward to next year, 2017. I wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Councilmember Hanford.
I said it all, but...
Councilmember Cuddeback.
Again, happy holidays. Thank you to the staff. You guys are great. Love working with you, and I'm looking forward to 2017. And thank you to Council. It has been a pleasure to serve with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Caboose.
You laugh.
I can echo everything that's been said. Thank you to the staff and the City Council for making my first year on the City Council, and I'll say successful in the learning process, and I look forward to hopefully being able to contribute more next year than I have this year. Got to attend the funeral service for Director Jim Scott from the school board Sunday. A very large turnout up at the Commons at the high school, and a very informative, that every day is a gift. And Mr. Scott was only 67, I think, and like I say, every day is a gift, and you got to look at it that way and be. I forgot what Tom McIntyre said. Something about you should do something to be remembered. Mm-hmm. And that was taken quite close. So that was my week. And again, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Hope to all see you all next year. And you, sir. And look forward to working with you.
And Gene, thank you for everything you did in my first year, although we, you know, our kids went to school together and I've known you a long time. We worked together while I was at the school district transportation, and always to the greatest success. Thank you.
Thank you. Out to staff, Mr. Worthen. Okay. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor, City Council. One thing I have is an update on the public art sculpture. We have scheduled the installation with the artist sculptor the first week of January, and we are also scheduling a dedication ceremony for Saturday, January 7th. It will be at 10 a.m. In the downtown there on the corner. And I will be sending out tomorrow not only press release and website and social media about announcement about this, also we'll be sending out invites to city council members, elected officials from Stone County's state representatives, and then a lot of the representatives and partners that have assisted us through this, Monroe Arts Council, Chamber of Commerce, Downtown Monroe Association, Planning Commission, Park Board, School District, and the Historical Society, and also the Audubon Hillshire Society. So we're all going to have a lot of fun on Saturday, January 7th. And so stay tuned. You'll be getting the invites and so will the community.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Farrell or Mr. Worthen? All right. Here's a sample of one of the Swifts. So go ahead and pass that down for everybody. I understand that's a life size. The Swifts are the size.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the actual size of those little birds that go down into the chimney. And no, it's not a throwing star. I've heard of people, a couple people comment on that. All right, Ms. Nelson. Okay, Mr. Osaki.
Well, as Council Member Camp mentioned, I did go to the Downtown Monroe Association meeting last night. Just a few items. One, there was actually a couple there that is working now towards opening a new barbecue restaurant in the downtown.
Cool.
And as much as I was there, I spent most of the meeting talking to them about the menu and why I decided to invest in Monroe. But it was actually a really good discussion. We talked a lot about the downtown fee waiver program that exists, and they're really excited about doing renovations and hopefully opening up in the first quarter of next year.
Sweet.
PMA reported that they got formal notification, a letter that they did not get the Puget Sound Energy lighting grant. And then finally, last month, Brian Scott with BDS Planning gave a presentation on the downtown revitalization strategy. They kind of laid out a funding strategy over a 3-year period to help the downtown Main Street program get up and running. And so, just for your information, last week I got the final report. At the presentation when he came to the city council meeting, he gave a summary and outline. So I'll be circulating that to the council members over the next few days. That's it.
Thank you. All right. Brad's out sick. Chief.
Last week we had the program that we've done annually for 3 years now, Shop Up. At Walmart, and I believe there were 10 children that the police officers escorted around. They were able to spend approximately $125 a piece. The interesting thing was many of those children wanted to buy Christmas presents for their parents or siblings before they wanted something for themselves. I thought that was exceptionally nice. The next day, and today, we had a gentleman stop at the office, and he donated $12,500 in cash for our Shop with Cop program. And I talked to him for a little bit, and I was impressed with his reason why. And it's because he's observed the Monroe Police Department be involved in many charitable issues in the last couple of years here, and he was so impressed that he decided to make this contribution, and we appreciate it. And best of all, children in our community will appreciate it more. And the last thing I have is a rather sad note that former Mayor Walzer entered hospice at Evergreen Hospital, and that communication is not long.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Chief, I just want to follow up on your comments regarding Shop with a Cop. Within my day job, I had the opportunity to actually essentially be there, be a fly on the wall, drive a couple of the officers and kids, and the engagement of those officers and the kids is like nothing I don't think any of us have ever seen. It's just incredible. And I think it was Officer Robertson pushing the cart around, proudly proclaiming that this is the first dress he's ever bought. It was hilarious, and said it with a smile and loved it, and all those kids were just having the time of their life, and the smiles on them. So Chief, please pass along my gratitude to the officers. I know they work very hard and they're very proud of that program that they put on every year, so, and the kids do love it.
Thank you. Do you have anything to report?
Just that I attended the SCIP meeting this morning, and I confirmed that 522 is on the regional priority list to go to the legislators with. So SCIP will be carrying that forward along with many of the cities, including Monroe.
Any questions for Mr. Brazel? Okay. For me, last week, I had a really great meeting with Mr. Wall, Senator-elect Palumbo, and County Council Member Lowe, and Ken Klein to talk about 522. We had staff there also, including Mr. Brazel and Mr. Feilberg. It was a roll-up-your-sleeves kind of meeting, talking about the different issues that we're facing on doing improvements for 522. Our meeting had happened right after the meeting the night before in the Malpe area, talking about the apartment complex that is proposed there. So we got to get a little bit more feedback about how the community is impacted by the stoplight at Paradise Lake Road and their concerns with the apartment complex that's going in there. So anyway, it was a very productive meeting, a very roll-your-sleeves-up kind of meeting, talking about different options and so on. And there aren't any real specific objectives that I can tell you right now from the meeting. It was just a good meeting for the four of us, plus staff, to sit down and talk. And it's really nice having somebody from the 1st Legislative District that is so supportive of improvements to 522 also. So that was nice. On Friday morning, I met with, I want to say Council Member Koster, Representative-elect Koster. We went over the legislative agenda over breakfast and talked about the capital improvements that we're looking for a synthetic turf field at Lake Tai. Talked about lighting. Yes. He even mentioned that lighting is good when you have synthetic turf. So anyway, I was thinking of you with the lighting. We also talked about 522. He's looking forward to going into the legislature where he has been before, and I appreciated his time on Friday also. Going back more broadly, I thank our staff, I thank our community, I thank our the Monroe Monitor, Chris, I thank you for all the work that everybody does to keep this community going. Council members, I thank you each personally for all the work that you have done over the last few years. One of the things that was really cool that you heard Mr. Mosley mention this evening is that the candidates that we met for the interim position, all three of them that came in to interview with us, had mentioned that they had done some research online, and it was because one of the things that drew them to say, yeah, go ahead and put my name in for the interim, was the fact that we get along so well. And I know that there are times where we disagree, but at the end of the day, we're all working for the further further the community, and that is a really positive thing. And that speaks volumes to how we're all working for the community, how we're all willing to work together, still have the disagreement, but still work together. Council, staff, our directors, and everybody else, thank you so much. Does anybody have any questions for me? Okay. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We now are going to go on to draft agenda. Do you want to do your final draft agenda?
This is it, team.
Buckle up.
Okay, wait a minute. I want to get in the right. Okay, all right.
Get ready.
Where's the Kleenex just in case?
Canceled.
Okay, draft agenda. Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. First thing, under announcements and presentations, the State Auditor's Office will be here conducting the exit conference. Second item is confirmation of the Finance Director appointment. Then you have your comments for citizens, consent agenda. Under unfinished business, you'll be looking at the pros and cons of the 191st Street extension. Under new business, you'll be doing the annual commute trip reduction discussion. Under final action, it'll be discussing the appointment of city representatives to the various boards. That's all the council members and the various boards you guys attend. And that is it. Any additions or deletions?
I see none.
Okay. Extended agenda. Any additions or deletions?
And just note, we've already canceled them. The 27th and the 3rd are canceled. And we have listed as a potential cancellation Valentine's Day.
What?
They already canceled.
I thought we did too. Did we? We didn't. They didn't cancel Valentine's Day yet.
You canceled.
Well, I moved. It was seconded, and we voted.
I don't remember.
Did I hear that? Are you moving to Councilmember Gamble?
I move to cancel the February 14th meeting.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Gamble and a second from Councilmember Hanford to cancel the February 14th, 2017 Valentine's Day meeting. Any discussion on the motion?
Shouldn't there be a like massacre in there somewhere?
I know. To avoid one.
To avoid a massacre.
Avoid.
Mm-hmm. All in favor of the motion to cancel February 14th council meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. Great. Anything else on the extended agenda? All right. Pam, can you bring that up? So
are we at the special?
We're now at special orders of the day.
Don't cry, Gene.
Okay.
Well, bring them in.
Yeah, come on in. Mm-hmm.
Bring them in.
Thank you, Pam. So, Gene, it's I said it already today at the staff meeting. It's been a real pleasure working with you for the last 3 years, and you've done the city extraordinarily well for the last 30-plus years. You started here in 1986, and what, you were 16?
85, I was 15.
85, and you were 15. And, you know, it's really cool that you started off in the wastewater treatment plant, and you've been able to reach the point where you're now serving as city administrator for our city. And you're doing so well that other cities pick you up. And I know that it's a growth opportunity for you. And I truly have appreciated the time, the professionalism, the counsel, you know, your advice, just sitting down and talking, and I'm truly going to miss you. Congratulations on your new job, and I'm going to miss you. It's been a great time working with you. Council members. Councilmember Gamble? I'll just go down the line.
Yeah, no, Gene, it's been a pleasure. 5 years, you're kind of... I'm really the only prerequisite for me is that you'll still be wearing black.
Absolutely.
And yes, orange, because I mean you are a Monroe grad. That kind of is. We've
That's
got
it.
Yeah, this is a little sacrilege. I got to be honest with you, and I got to take exception to the comment. We're going on to bigger and better. Bigger always isn't better. It may be bigger, but no. Just thank you for your years of service. It is a great growth opportunity for you. Totally understand and get it. Excited for you, but we sure are gonna miss you. So, but I know I'll see you around town.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Councilmember Camp.
Wow. The first thing that popped in my head when I heard that you worked in wastewater and then you moved your way up to politics, and I really didn't go that far. Anyway, congratulations. You'll be missed. From the first days in the Planning Commission through the first days on the Council, you've been a rock and a resource to explain to me how things work, how the city works. I think I even did, when I was doing my Council Member 101 interviews, you were one of my interviewees, and you explained to me how the city was structured and how we do things. It was really great. And I love your fan club here tonight. They're great. Congratulations. Best of luck to you. I want you to stop by. I may not see you around town, but you can stop by once in a while and tell us how wonderful we still are.
I'm sure.
Thanks.
Councilmember Davis.
Again, congratulations. I'm excited for you. I think you've got a great future. And the best part about it is you're still part of Monroe. Mm-hmm. So you'll be back here, and we'll be seeing you again. So good luck to you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Asmussen.
Yeah, Gene, as been said, I mean, congratulations. I mean, great opportunity, and definitely miss you here. And very, very happy for you. And, you know, the thing I admire, and many people have come up to me and mentioned it as well, is just the way you've started and grown in this career, starting from just coming on board and working your way up and into this position. And this is we talk to the kids all the time that this is a great way to do it, and it can be done, and this is you're a prime example of that. So again, thank you, and it is cool to see how involved you've been. I mean, when I got to my current office and seeing your name on years of documents, it was just I could tell that you've how involved you've been. So congratulations once again, and thank you for all that you've done for me as council member, community member, but this community as well.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Well, when you emailed us to say that you were interviewing, everybody doesn't know this, but I emailed you right back and said, don't even think about it. You're not allowed to go. And the next email I got was, sorry, I accepted it. in all seriousness, you will be missed. And it's been a true pleasure. 5 years, you said, so, of working with you. And so appreciate the way you've helped lead and administrate in our city. And your professionalism, your friendliness, everything about you, Gene. That email was purely selfish. I know that you had great things ahead.
Thank you.
What's funny, when he told me, I yelled at him. Say it ain't so, Gene. And that yelled at you on the phone, so I get why you sent that. But, I've appreciated, it's been 7 years, and I think when you started as a city administrator, I was a new council member, and I had a couple rough years in there, but you were a rock, like people said, and I think what I admire most about you is your ability to get along with people, your graciousness under fire. You would remain calm. You were kind to staff, kind to people. And I think, that set a tone for this city. It was a great place to work with you leading the staff. And I heard that from many people in the community. So I really appreciated that. And what we've been able to create up here over the last 3 years has a big part to do with you. Always able to answer questions, share information, open door when people needed something, and you really helped me over the last few years just learning the ins and outs of the city and how to do things. So I appreciated it. And I agree with Councilmember Gamble. You're not going on to bigger and better things. Maybe bigger, but, you know, not better. But they are very fortunate. And when you told me you were applying, I was like, you've got it. Like, there's no way they could not see you, the possibility of you coming there. So, you know, kind of my worst nightmare that it happened, because now there's change, but I am happy for you, and I wish you all the luck, and, you know, I'm sure your family also. So good luck, and stay in touch.
Thank you.
Councilmember Scarborough.
Well, I'll get at it more from the frogman outside. We'll get out of the mush, and...
Although
it's all great, and I was just, as I heard that you started in the wastewater plant and moved up, it kind of reminded me of the Navy. I think I started in the wastewater department. I think they called it cleaning the head then, and then moved up from there. But they also told me something in the Navy: if you can't be replaced, you can't be promoted. So we'd like to say congratulations on your promotion and what you wanted to do, and we'll do our best to fill your position, and hopefully that person will be as open to learning from us as we need to be from learning from that person. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Anybody else from staff? Zach?
Somewhat differently situated because I'm a consultant of the city, but Gene was instrumental in bringing me here several years ago, and I guess I want to start by thanking you for that. It's been a wonderful opportunity, and I've sincerely enjoyed working with you and the council and staff. I'm going to certainly miss working with you on a daily basis, which I have for now for 6 years. I worked with innumerable administrators and managers over the course of my career, and I would put you at the very top of that list. There are, I think, two traits that stand out to me that make a very good, effective public manager, and that is common sense and integrity. And Gene, you embody both of those traits at least as much and probably more than just about anyone I've ever encountered. It's been an absolute pleasure to work with. I'm very proud to call you a friend, and I'm going to miss you very much. Best of luck and congratulations.
Thank you. Is there anybody else we'll just go ahead and suspend the public comment for a few minutes. Is there anybody else who would like to come forward and say any words? I know that staff said words today at the meeting. Okay, well, with that, we have something for you. So, Pam was kind enough to put together a key to the city for you. It won't open any doors. So there you go. We'll go on down there and okay. I'll give it to you. Council members.
We'll be changing the locks. Right after this meeting.
It's a key to the city, but we changed the locks. Is that right?
All right, this is so you can get back into the city.
Yeah. That's the lock when you started.
Yeah.
We got the thumbs up.
I think we're good.
We're good.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Gene.
I appreciate it. I tell you, it has been an absolute honor serving for the community in Winston Public. It's been a ride. I mean, it's funny. The kids know and family know that I'm all about fun facts. And so when we drive around town, I share my fun facts about what I've touched and been a part of. And it's just been amazing. And, you know, you guys have been my family and will be for years to come. That's not going to change. I'm going to stick around and, you know, try and be as part of it. Still a big part of the community. So thanks to each and every one of you, and I'd like to introduce all my friends and family.
Yeah.
And my kids. So my mom Madeline right here. My wife Katie, of course. Mm-hmm. Our friends Kristen and Caleb. My brother-in-law Scott. My sister Jeanette. And Ash and Jake. And then in the back we've got Alyssa and Sean. So that's everybody. Mm-hmm. Thank you for coming, everybody. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Eagle.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. Once again.
I know.
I know, right? Awesome.
Thanks, James. That's from the camp.
Are we done?
Oh, no.
That came out great.
What do you say? I don't know.
So the only
high point that would have been a good.
So the only thing that is keeping you here at this point is a motion to adjourn. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Adjourn.
Oh. Okay, I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Rasmussen.
Second.
A second from Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much.
Good job.
That was good.